Okay, so we continue with the halachas of pikuach nefesh, what you can do, what you can't do, and we'll try to get to some examples to understand all the different rules that we've been setting out. So we say that a person can do a melacha on Shabbos if the situation requires it because of pikuach nefesh, and he can do even a melacha d'oraisa because pikuach nefesh is both for everything. What happens if when doing the melacha, the way it's done is a secondary issue takes place? For example, a child, Rahman al-Islam, falls into a river and you want to pull the child out, so you throw a net in. You throw the net in, you get the child, but at the same time you pull up fish. So there's no problem of putting a net in the water and pulling up the child, because that's not considered takeout. But you're doing an action, and together with the action comes a secondary action, which is a prohibition. It's the opposite to the Seder on Shabbos. Is it all right? So the answer is that it's mutter, because even though the Seder that you're doing has no direct result for the sake of the child that you're saving, it doesn't help the child in any way whatsoever, whether he's going to have that fish around him or not fish around him, he's still going to be safe. But this is the way to get the kid out. Then obviously it becomes mutter to do that melacha. So again, if you need to do one activity, whether there's a melacha involved or not, but by doing that activity, it requires another melacha, which is not necessary for the sake of the choyle. It's just required in order to carry out the activity. So if that's the way to do it, then that may be done. The example we gave is if there were net into the river to pull a drowning person out, and fish come up at the same time, that is not a problem. Obviously, one has to be careful that you're not doing this for the sake of the fish. You're not doing this for, there's no other way to do it. Or if you can avoid it, you use a different form of putting, you throw in a ring for the person to hold on to. Obviously, there's a difference between a child and a person. An older person can hold on to a ring and you can pull them into the rope. You don't have to throw in a net, but a child doesn't know how to hold on, the current is too strong, whatever it is. You have to know the circumstances. It doesn't just mean, oh, you grab the first thing possible and then it's going to be melacha. You have to think, not long, because chas v'shalom, you don't want that your thinking delays anything and then causes more danger. If you don't hurry up and if there's a strong current, who knows what can happen, every second counts. So sometimes you just grab the first thing that you see. Sometimes you let yourself think for 2-3 seconds before you grab the first thing, and sometimes you think a little more, but person has to keep that in their mind. But the point of this halacha is that if the action that is required right now includes a malacha, even a malacha that is unrelated to the choyle, nevertheless, this action can be carried out. Any heter that we've given until now, legabe what you can do for a choyle mesukan, or in the case of the pikuach nefesh, only applies when there is human life involved. Any other thing, whether it comes to money, even enormous amounts of money, one may not transgress an Isur on Shabbos, not even an Isur Durabonon, maybe transgressing an Isur Shabbos. There are cases, you can ask me, we see very often we talk about a Hesed Merubah. There are certain Durabonons, and there are certain cases where there's Sfeikus, where we take Hesed Merubah into account. When we discuss what's permitted and not permitted, and sometimes you have a Sfafik Lahalacha, so we'll say that Lechachila, you should go to Chumra. But the Eved, when there is a loss involved, so then you can go Lukula. We have cases in Mukta or Sabbat Echaim or things like that, where when there's a loss involved, so then we say Chazal weren't Goyver in the case of a loss. So there are certain cases where it's spelled out black and white that if there's a loss involved, so then we go more Lukula. But if we don't have it, then when it comes to the Malachas that we have, whether they're Doraisa or Rabbanon, in order to save money, is considered also and doesn't give it a heter whatsoever to transgress it. Which I just add that the life of an animal is treated as money, monetary. The life of an animal does not take the value of the life of a human being. Chas v'shalom, we don't compare them. And if a person has a animal that is ill and he wants to treat the animal, so what we take into account is to an animal that is under my responsibility, and as a result of my neglect or something I've done, the animal is going to suffer, then it becomes imperative for me to alleviate that suffering. And then we'll see that since Tzavarei Chaim according to Lava Shishas is Daraisa, whereas what you need to do might be a Drabonon, so then we'll have a Daraisa compulsion Drabonon. You have an animal that's sent into a water canal. So if you can leave the animal there and feed it where it is, that's what you're supposed to do. But if you cannot, the animal is going to suffer. So then you can do various things in order to get the animal out. Obviously things that are Drabonon, which might even include moving the animal itself, even though the animal is Mukta. We're going to push the Mukta away. But we have other cases where if it's not Tzavarei Chaim involved, but an animal's life is threatened, then there's no heter to do any malacha in order to save the animal's life. Another thing to take into account is not to mix up the concept of something which is related to immediate danger or something which is essential to a person's well-being, but not related to immediate danger. An example of that would be is that bread, for example, is a necessity, it's an essential necessity that a human being needs. And without that, a person will not survive if he's unable to eat. So you might think that since bread is essential, so you're allowed to make bread for a chole sheyesh lo sakana. The answer is that no, essentials are different to sakana sefashos. Sakana sefashos is that the action that you need to do, it has an immediate effect on the patient. Here you're dealing with something which is essential to his well-being, but can be pushed off. Obviously, if a doctor has tested that he needs the bread now, and if he doesn't have the bread now, then it will worsen his situation or Chas v'Shalom make it terminate his life. So then obviously you go and you get bread, and if you need to bake it, then you bake it. But otherwise, without a doctor's requirement of telling you that this person needs it now, so that type of thing, even though it might be essential, we don't say that can be done on Shabbos. Now, another halacha that has to do with Pikuach Nefesh is having in mind in advance getting to situations of Pikuach Nefesh. In other words, sometimes there are things that we do, things that are necessary for us to, but it puts us into a situation where when Shabbos comes, you've got to be there for Shabbos. And the typical example of that is someone who needs to have surgery. Now, invasive surgery has a long period for recovery, and there are various malachas that are now allowed to be done if the person is in that situation, is post-surgery on Shabbos. Certain things can be done because you don't want complications, you don't want to chas v'shalom infections, and whatever may be. So if a person has surgery, and not loved up on Shabbos, your surgery during the week, now comes Shabbos, and the doctor says this and this treatment must be continued, because otherwise the person can slip into a situation of becoming mesukken. So then you can do those treatments in the post-surgery situation. So if that's the case, how about the timing of the surgery? Is there an inyan in when you time the surgery? The answer is yes. If it is surgery that is necessary and the doctor said cannot wait, so then you do whenever it comes up. Someone, Rahman al-Islam, got involved in an accident, so the doctors say he needs his bone reset and they're going to do the surgery. You do it right away. But someone who wants to have his nose reshaped, so that's an example of an elective surgery, but even if it's not elective surgery, person needs some sort of surgery, and the doctor say, listen, it can wait another, you can do it now, you can wait till after your daughter's wedding, or you can, you know, there are some things that need to be taken care of at some point or another. They're not urgent. They've got to be done within the next 2 months, let's say. So obviously, it doesn't have to be done on a Thursday afternoon. In those cases, we say that a person should make an effort to make sure that the surgery takes place in the first 3 days of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and not on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, even though the recovery time is more than 7 days, and it will require Chilul Shabbos on the Shabbos following the surgery, whether the surgery was on a Sunday or on a Friday, it doesn't make a difference. There will still be Chilul Shabbos, meaning Chilul Shabbos for the sake of a Cholish Yesh Sakana, and it will be Mutar. But even if it will be in that case, therefore, doing it on Sunday is not going to avoid a Chilul Shabbos situation. It's not going to be any different. Very clearly that in both cases, something will have to be done on Shabbos. Nevertheless, there's still an issue to have the surgery in the first half of the week and not the second half of the week, and that is a the Chachamim explain is that a person's behavior must show that he has Shabbos in mind, since Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are considered days prior to Shabbos, so therefore it's considered as if you're now thinking about Shabbos coming, whereas Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are days that are considered belonging to the previous Shabbos and not to the next Shabbos. And therefore, oh, Shabbos is past, now I can go ahead and do it. So it's nireh ked b'chalo es haShabbos. It looks like he has put himself in a situation where he doesn't care about the fact that Shabbos is coming, it's going to be b'chalo Shabbos. So as I said, even if you do it on Sunday, it could still be chilul Shabbos, but it doesn't have this nireh, it doesn't have this look like that you don't care what about Shabbos coming. And therefore, any time a person does something where there's an inevitable result of needing a chilul Shabbos for a case of sakana in the future, then if you can choose the day, in other words, it's not an emergency, it's not necessary, but it can be, it is up to your own choosing of timing, then we say that you have to make sure that it's done in the first 3 days of the week. Another example that's brought up in halacha is a person who goes on a journey. So today journeys are relatively short. If you travel long distance, you just take an aeroplane. Within a couple of hours, you're in your place. But in the olden days, if you needed to go somewhere, you traveled by caravan through the desert, or you took a ship and you went onto the ocean. So the question discussed, what about a person who goes on a two-week journey? And so if he's traveling on land, so fine. So you stop for Shabbos, you find a place to stop. So the discussion, what happens if he's going with a caravan, and the caravan travels on Shabbos, and he doesn't want to travel on Shabbos, but he can't stay on his own, he has to travel with him. Those are separate halachas. But the typical case is someone who goes on a boat ride, a ship journey, and goes out to sea, and the journey is going to be longer than 7 days, and therefore it's inevitable that it's going to be on board during Shabbos. And Shabbos is, whether you like it or not, even if they stop the ship, there can be all sorts of problems of Shabbos, like chumim, and then what about looking after this, tying the sails, and all the rest. So if you're on an ocean liner like they have today, and there are goyim that are running the ship, most of the passengers are goyim, so then it would be much more halakhically less questionable to get into such a cruise. So, for example, a person taking a 2 week cruise around the coast of Alaska, I mentioned that as an example because I know someone did it. So, and she asked the Shaila, they were told, if you are leaving on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it will be problematic. But if you're leaving Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, that will be permitted. So it's the same thing over here, that it can get to problems. So there, on today's ocean liners and cruises, it doesn't cause that you are going to be doing any malachas. Maximum, someone's running the ship for you. And since you are in the minority, they're really running it for the majority, and therefore it could be there's no problem whatsoever. You can even get onto such a ship on a Friday. But in the olden days where every hand on board counted, and they might require that this yid who's getting on the boat might be required, say, to put up the sails or take it down. And that's one of the examples of kosher on Shabbos, is that you tie the sails and you refix something that has broken or something like that. So this could be a malacha, and it would be necessary to do, because it's not for that gives that go off course and that could sink and who knows what. And therefore, a malacha d'oraisa might be involved in order for the koach nefesh. Such a case, we said that the person shouldn't get onto such a boat and depart within 3 days before Shabbos. So it's the same thing. So not very practical in our day and age about journeys and traveling and cruises, but much more practical agave elective surgery, or even if it's not elective, but a surgery that does not have an urgent timeline. So too, if a person has a if there's a household where there's a sick person in the house, then as possible, a person should take the necessary precautions on Erev Shabbos so that he wouldn't have to rely on the fact that he has a head of Chilul Shabbos. But if you have a regular house with no person who's ill and he gets ill on Shabbos, so you do what you ever have to do. But you have someone who's in the house who's ill, and you know that you're going to have to be preparing a certain bandage, and the bandage has to be knotted in a certain way or whatever it is. So you can't say, well, on Shabbos for Chayla Masukah and everything's Mutah, so let me leave it for Shabbos and I'll do it then. No, you have to prepare the knots, prepare the bandages all beforehand, even though were you not to have done it for whatever reason, whether it was laziness or you didn't care or you had a good excuse, irrelevant. When it came time on Shabbos to be done, so then you would have to make that knot and do that malacha, it would be permissible. But since you have the possibility of doing it before Shabbos, so you're mechuyev to do it before Shabbos. So of course, again, if you were mechuyev and you didn't do it, that doesn't mean we kindness and we punish him and say that he can't do it on Shabbos. No, you've got to treat that person because now you're in that situation. But as a chiyuv before Shabbos, you have a chiyuv to take into account any foreseeable, what is considered foreseeable event and try to mitigate them in advance, that there shouldn't be a chiddul, and so you can memayit, you can lessen the amount of chiddul Shabbos that will be. In a regular household, this is, unless there is a ill person in the house or someone who's prone to illness in the house, it's not very practical because in a regular household, you don't usually have a cholim and sukkim on Shabbos, therefore you don't have to go every Erev Shabbos and start making it, preparing all sorts of bandages and ointments and all the rest, and formulas and mixed chemicals and all the rest. Maybe there'll be someone sick in the house that has to take care of it. Still, but when there is already someone in the house who is getting ill or got ill and treatment will be needed. But in the case of a hospital or the case of a doctor where he gets house called out, so for him it is much more common. So either in a hospital it happens every week, whether it's in the doctor's house once a month, it happens. I don't know how frequent it has to be in order, but he's just a doctor and people knock at his door for advice. So he has to be the type of person that he has these things prepared in advance. To die for a doctor who people know that he's a doctor and turn to him for medical help, that he should have certain basics prepared in advance so that he shouldn't have to do them in Shabbos were something to come up. However, all these preparations are things that are easy and can be done without a problem. If it's something that requires an enormous amount of effort in order to prepare it, to have it done in advance, then it is not necessary to do it in advance. One of the examples, or very practical often, is a woman is in her 9th month of pregnancy, and there's a possibility of going into the hospital any day now. And so one of the things we tell a woman that is in the 9th month, you should prepare a bag to take with you to the hospital, and the bag should have the money in the cell phone. And what about Moksa? Can you take it? Can you not take it? And have a phone that's charged and make sure that you have the Hatzal on speed dial and all these things. These are things that should be prepared, and are easy to prepare. But does that mean that every time a woman's in the 9th month, she should move into the hotel next to Shari Tzedek so that if she goes into labor on Shabbos, she can just pop over to the hotel, to the hospital, meaning in a walk, or even then, in that case, you can take an ambulance, but you're memayet, you're lessening the amount of chiddul Shabbos. But an ambulance that has to go from Beit Shemesh to Shari Tzedek is a 35-minute drive, and whereas if it's from Beit Dagan to Shari Tzedek, it's a 5-minute drive. So cutting off half an hour of chiddul Shabbos. So is that necessary? So that's, we'll see when we get to the North chapter on first on Shabbos, but that's the idea we're discussing now, is that when it comes to Tircha Gedoyla, then you don't need to go to an extra effort in order to do Tircha Gedoyla, in order to lessen the possibility of Chiddush Shabbos on Shabbos, were it to come up. Another point is a person who gets treatment on a non-daily basis, and there's a possibility of choosing the days when you can get the treatment, and obviously it is imperative that a person makes the effort that he gets those treatments on weekdays and not on Shabbos. It will be a type of treatment that you have to get every 2 days. You don't have a choice. 1 week it will fall on Shabbos and 1 week it don't. You have to do it every 2 days. But if it's something that can be done twice, 3 times a week, and the spacing in between can vary slightly, so for example, a person who has kidney failure needs to go into dialysis, and needs to do it twice, 3 times a week, so make sure that it doesn't fall out on Shabbos. It goes on a Friday, goes on a Sunday, goes on another time during the week. And that way you avoid going on Shabbos. That is the person's skill to make sure that that is on Shabbos. Obviously, if something happened and he cannot do it on the Friday, and then and he has to do it on Shabbos, and it's not on Shabbos, it will be dangerous. So then you have to do it on Shabbos. But if you can, in advance, stand it out, you should. What happens if there's 2 days, 2 days is a Shabbos and a Yom Tov, and you can't go 2 days without? So if possible, you should try organize that the treatment is done on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. If you have a choice between either or, then you choose Yom Tov over Shabbos. And obviously that follows through if you have Yom Tov Rish and Yom Tov Sheni, whether it's Kutzos or even so we have Rosh Hashanah, 2 days Yom Tov. If you have a choice, then you should try to get the treatment done on Yom Tov Sheni and not the Rish. So those are rules that we've said without got any examples. Again, just a few just to understand them. But those are the rules that you need to implement when dealing with the subject. As we said, sum them up again. You can only do Sakhanas Tafarat Sefer for people, not for money. You have to prepare 3 days. You have to prepare that you don't get involved in this 3 days before Shabbos, if possible. Try to have things prepared in advance. We said that if there's an action that you do and something else happens at the same time, you're allowed to do it. All these rules that we mentioned last week, all these things are the rules. Now we'll go and talk about more practical and see how they apply. So, for example, calling a doctor. A person is feeling ill and there is suspicion amongst the attendants or the patient himself that the illness that he has is a dangerous illness, something that could lead to sakana. So what you need to do is call for medical attention to find out what's the matter. And as you said before, even if later on you find out that what you did was, not what you did, but you later find out that the illness that the person suffering from did not need immediate medical attention, that could have waited till after Shabbos, that doesn't say that what he did is wrong, but rather a person needs to deal with the situation as he sees it now, and what happened, what turns out later, is not does not detract from his chiyuv of making the call now. You first need, because we are not medical professionals, therefore, our ability to judge whether something is sakanas nefashos or not is limited. And therefore, we have to go according to what we know. When we have a chashash, then we've got to make this call. The doctor then will come and tell you what to do after. So, in order to make the call, in order to get medical attention, you can do whatever is necessary to get the medical attention. If it means picking up a phone, you can pick up a phone. If it means that you know that your doctor doesn't have a phone or whatever the case may be, and you need to go to his home and fetch him, and there's no time, or it's too far to walk, or it's outside the tum, so then you can walk even if it's outside the tum, or if it's too far and you can't walk, then you can take a vehicle. If you can take a bicycle, obviously it would be preferred than taking a car. If that's going to take too long or it's too far and it's not possible, then you can take a car. I've seen the stuff, if you can choose an electric car, you can choose an internal combustion engine, you should choose an electric car. But that, again, depends if the person has that possibility available, and going to find a neighbor who has one and begging him to lend it to you is not a necessity. You have to see what's available to you right now at hand. You don't have to go look for these things. If there's two possibilities, there's a possibility of walking or a possibility of going by car, you can only go by foot if you know that the delay is not going to cause any danger to the patient. And if you don't know, then you've got to go to Chumrah because it's a suffix. If you go to Suffolk, then sometimes the question is going to Chumrah. And if you take the car. One may even do this, pick up the phone and call, or drive over to the doctor's house and try to get him to come to you, even if you are not certain that he is there. Could be he's away for Shabbos. No one told you whether he's here or not for Shabbos. And you go over to his house and you knock at the door, you discover the neighbor says, oh, they've gone for Shabbos. Go find a different doctor. That doesn't make that doesn't take away from his chiyuv to go look for him, nor does it say that it is wrong to go look for him. You didn't know his home or not, even though you have a suspicion. You know that he's very often goes to his children for Shabbos, but until you know for sure that he's not home, you still go and do it. Obviously, if you now get another doctor, then do that. But we're talking about that's not the obvious situation. If a person is a situation where you want to call the doctor to meet you at the hospital, not that the doctor comes over to the house, that's also necessary. If you need the doctor with you, then you can call the doctor to get him to come. You want to call the doctor to get a instruction. You want to ask him whether Bichlau is Sakhanas Tafashas. Since you have a suffix that could be Sakhanas Tafashas, you call the doctor and you ask him, this is a symptom, this is a situation. You know this patient, he has this illness in the background or whatever it is. Do you say it's Sakhanas Tafashas? Should we call that Tzala? Should we treat him this way or that way? So you may make that call if you feel that without that there would be Sakhanas Tafashas. You can make the call. The doctor can then say after it was not necessary, but that doesn't change your situation. Or if you have a situation where the doctor is available within walking distance, but if you were to walk over to the doctor's house, even if it's three doors down, you're not talking about where it's across the neighborhood, it's not far. You can walk, you can go, and it's not going to cause a delay, it's not going to cause any problems. But there's no one to look after the patient while you're out, and that is going to leave them, make them nervous, and make them very afraid. So then you can pick up a phone and call the doctor to come over, instead of going over to call the doctor if you are needed to be here and there's no one else to go out and call the doctor. When choosing a doctor, you choose the one that lives closest to you so that there shouldn't be any fiddle travels. Obviously, if you have one 3 doors away, one that's 4 doors away, and either all going to come by foot, and there's no malach involved, then it makes no difference whether he's close or far. But if it means when you call the doctor needs to get into his vehicle and come, and then you try to get a doctor who lives closest, and you can admire it in the chiddush Shabbos. However, there are exceptions, and that is, obviously, they will see that makes sense, but you need to speak them out. If the doctor who lives further away is a bigger expert in the field that you're dealing with, I mean, a simple would be if you have a paramedic who lives nearby and you have a doctor who lives further away, and you know that this is something more than a paramedic can do, or you want to have the medical attention that the doctor can give at the paramedic car. So then again, you can call the doctor who's further away than calling the paramedic who's closer. Or you want to have your family doctor. Not because you like having someone pleasant to have around, but because there's a certain, there's some good reasons for it. The family doctor knows the patient, knows his background, knows the patient's sensitivities, has dealt with this before, and therefore will have more knowledge, and in this particular case will be considered the expert. So you might have a doctor who's more experienced, better qualified, an expert in the field, but when it comes to the doctor who's treating, when it comes to this patient, we treat him as the bigger expert because of the fact that he knows the background, he knows the patient. So therefore, if that would make a factor in your feeling that you'll get better attention, better care, and the patient will feel better, then you can call your own doctor, even if it means that he has to come from further away. Or if the patient feels that he doesn't want to have a stranger dealing with him, and he feels uncomfortable, and it means something to the patient, then you can call his own doctor. What you cannot do is take monetary calculations into account. For example, you have a doctor who's on the kufa, and if you made a house call, it will be billed to the kufa. Or you have a private doctor and Shabbos will send you a bill and you're going to have to pay for it. So then you can't say, I'm taking the doctor that is cheaper. You take the doctor which is closer and you deal with the bills after. Obviously, when there's no other factor to decide between one and the other, two doctors that are even in their professional capabilities and the comfort for the patients, etc. And now the pure decision between one over the other has to do with financial matters. But the one that is cheaper lives far further, then there will be also you have to pick the one that is closer. If you've called the doctor and the doctor feels that the situation is beyond his capabilities and you're a specialist, or as I said, you've called a paramedic and you need a doctor, whatever the case may be, just because you've called medical attention, but the medical attention is insufficient and now you need to call another doctor, you may do so as well. Or you call the doctor who knows exactly what to do, but the patient is very uncomfortable with this doctor and he wants to have his doctor. You didn't know that when you called the doctor, you called whichever doctor you could get hold of, and then you discover that the doctor would come, makes the patient feel all uncomfortable, so make a second call and get his doctor to come. When making the call, one should try as much as possible without a delay to do the call kila achayad for the shinoi from a distance from the regular way. You try, if possible, to use your back of your hand to pick up the phone when you need to knock it off the base before you pick it up. If you can press the buttons with a knuckle or an elbow instead of a finger, you try to do it that way. If it's something that's usually done with one person, now you do it with two people, some done with one hand, you do it with two hands. All these things are considered shinuyim. It will bring the severity of the malacha down. Obviously, it can only be done in a situation where it will not cause any problems. Have to dial with your elbow is not usually an answer because you end up pressing four numbers at the same time and you're not going to get through to the doctor. When talking on the phone, you do not need to weigh up every single word before you say and say, do I need to say this word or not? The accepted understanding is that once the call is connected and there is there's a circuit running, so now that you're talking a little bit more, talking a little bit less, doesn't really change the way the phone is working and doesn't affect the circuitry in a way that is problematic on Shabbos. There are those who are machmir on this when it comes to electricity, but again, you've got to be clear and you cannot hold back information. So that's number one. Even if there were to be an issue, you can say whatever you need, but since most possible anywhere hold, that once the connection is done, there's no further issue involved by extending the phone call. So when the doctor answers, you can say hello, and when he's given the advice, you can say thank you, and you can even say good Shabbos to him on the phone. Probably a very unsettling thing to do on a Shabbos, to wish someone good Shabbos on the phone, but that can be, all those nuances of speech can be done, but you can't at the same time, once I have you on the phone, doctor, can I ask you this and this, then obviously you're not supposed to be on Shabbos, you may not be on Shabbos, but it doesn't have to weigh up every word. One has a regular conversation and deal with the issue at hand as you would in a regular phone call. Now, when placing a call, so you can pick up the phone and make the call, what about when the call is finished? Can you put the phone down? Can you return the cordless phone to its base? Can you disconnect the line? All these things are not necessary for the call. And even if it means that your call is now extended and going to cost you more, again, we never take financial issues into account. By the way, it probably won't, because once the other side disconnects, then automatically your side disconnects, it won't cost more. But what can you do with the phone? If the doctor put the phone down and you don't put it down, now it's going to start beeping like crazy. Now, a lot of it is that unless you suspect that you're going to be needing the phone again, you may not put it down. And a cell phone is a little bit more simple, because the moment the doctor disconnects, he needs his phone for the rest of Shabbos. But the moment the doctor disconnects, your phone goes, disconnect and go into standby mode, not a problem. The regular house phone line, when he disconnects, until you put down, it's not going to disconnect. So, strictly speaking, you may not put the phone down, you may not disconnect the phone, you may not return the phone to base. If, and this is something the person should take into account, if you're expecting to get a return call, the doctor's going to come to your house, but he doesn't know exactly where you live. And even though you told him someone will be downstairs to meet him, but maybe he turned into the wrong street or maybe something, so then you can put the phone back, knowing that he's allowing the doctor to call you to get the direction. When you call an ambulance, you have to allow the phone to be available, because that can be very necessary that they're going to call in and ask a question. So generally speaking, that would be the halacha. But if for whatever reason you know that no one's going to be making calls, the doctor told you that it's fine, he's not coming, there's no need for him, just do this and this, and you did it, and the patient's fine, and he's healthy, and it's good, and everything's the whole emergency situation is passed, now you can't put the phone back down again, because you don't need it again. Okay, well, coming to the end, so we'll stop there and continue with this next week, and with that, we're going to wish everybody a wonderful week, and hopefully we should not meet a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good talk.
Thank you.